I want to begin by thanking the choir for the anthem this morning. That was a beautiful version of Hush. I don't know how familiar any of you are with the fact that Hush is referred to as a code song. It's a spiritual that was used to alert people who were trying to leave slavery on the Underground Railroad. If someone was singing Hush, it meant lay low, get out of the way, don't journey right now. It's not safe. It's a great thing to recall, especially here. This morning, earlier, we heard the Kabbalah tale about an illiterate boy who uttered the only thing he knew, the alphabet, during the holiest of Jewish days. He was hoping, we imagine, that his enthusiasm, his raw intention and joy would be sufficient, would be enough to be heard, enough to equal the prayers in the temple. The temple environment of structure and tradition and defined practice. This is a story about a grace that fed the human spirit. Above all else, the child's prayer was heard. When my oldest child was five, she would sing to me in the car on Sunday mornings. Aleph, bet, fet, aleph, bet, fet, gimel, dalet, hey, gimel, dalet, hey. Does anybody recognize that? Vav, zayin, chet, tet, vav, zayin, chet, tet, yud, kof, kof. This is how a child learns the Hebrew alphabet. I'm not Jewish. I learned what little I know of these letters from our Elizabeth as we traveled home from her Sunday morning class at the Brandeis Jewish Education Program. We enrolled her there, my husband and I, before we found Unitarian Universalism. She loved learning Hebrew. But at the end of the first year there, we carted her along with her younger brother and sister off to our local Unitarian Universalist congregation instead. We wanted a community, a place where our multi-faith family could learn and worship together. But I worried, what about her prayer? If she didn't have a language, a religious language, and by this I mean a dogmatic and tested faith as I then understood it, would her prayers, her longings, her alphabet be heard? I wanted her to know the life of her spirit. Could she learn that outside the confines of creedal faith? So we fast forward a bit, a few years down the road. I was pretty new to Harvard Divinity School when I went to see a professor at the time, Professor Emeritus Gordon Kaufman. Reverend Kaufman, who died several years ago, was a big thinker, a capital T thinker. He was a renowned liberal theologian who challenged Christian concepts with then 20th century reality. I had read some of his ideas, and since I was now in graduate school, I hoped that I would be able to work some independent study with him. So I went to his office, which surprised me a little. It was kind of a small, dark office in the basement, and I found him surrounded by theology, all these books of likewise big thinkers. I sat down, and I introduced myself, and I told him why I was there, that I hoped to study theology with him, that I admired his work. What tradition do you represent? He asked as I sat across from him. By this time, I had my identity in hand, so I said proudly, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. Well, he replied thoughtfully, that's an interesting experiment. I was new to graduate theological studies. I was sitting in a foreign land, as it were, with this massive theological thinker, but really an interesting experiment. I remember wondering, what does he mean exactly? Should I be flattered, offended? Had I pulled my children away from the alleged certainty of a traditional dogmatic faith, let alone two traditional dogmatic faiths, in order to engage them in an interesting experiment? I thought, perhaps defensively, since, of course, by now we had been at a UU church for 10 years or so, yes, it is an interesting experiment. And it occurred to me that it felt in that respect rather like democracy, for example. Over the years since then, I have felt my dukes were up. I was ready to defend my chosen faith, this interesting experiment, even if I was not entirely sure what that meant. And it was a link that formed, I think, as well. Every time I've noted newspaper articles or radio talk shows about the fragility of our democracy, our democratic process on the one hand, and on the other, its tenacity, I have buttressed my faith by association. Our faith experiment is akin to our political experiment, and they're both just fine. In his 9/11 address to the country on the 10th anniversary of the World Trade Center tragedies, President Obama claimed, "Our democracy is durable," and I felt again affirmed. Yes, and so is Unitarian Universalism. Somehow I had irrevocably linked the two. Unitarian Universalism is, as our democracy is, an interesting experiment. I suspect it's true, but to be honest, that simple statement has given me pause repeatedly over the years. This tradition has engaged me in ways I could never have imagined. I'm guessing many of you may have felt that way as well. It pokes and it prods us to understand ourselves and how we inhabit this life in amazing and wonderful ways. And yet, somehow Professor Kaufman's statement continues to have the resonance of a slightly disquieting truth. It feels as though, especially in the last 50 years or so, we Unitarian Universalists have worked at dismantling so many of our foundational religious myths, trusting, perhaps, that we can create meaning anew, that somehow we can be more successful at creating the world we want to live in. We challenge, we often reject, traditional concepts and vocabularies, like prayer, or God, holy, sin, sanctuary, worship. And I wonder sometimes, is this hubris, all this experimenting? Emerson reminds us, all life is an experiment. Do not be too timid and squeamish about your actions, he suggests. The more experiments you make, the better. But still, one wonders, is it responsible to experiment with faith? Of course, experiment has other associations sometimes, and sometimes high-risk ones at that. Teaching a child to drive, as an example. When my youngest child and I were practice driving one day, we came into a four-way intersection. She was driving, and it was a red light. Slightly after the light turned red, she started inching forward a little bit, and I screamed at her, "Stop! What are you doing?" She said, "No, Mom, it's okay. You can turn left on red in Massachusetts." Forget Hebrew. I just wanted her to know when to stop at a red light. This was an experiment, something for which I had no assurance of positive results. And frankly, I am willing to say that about my chosen faith as well. It is an interesting experiment and engaging, enormously engaging, in the freedom of spiritual journey it not only encourages for us, but requires. And it is disquieting, because in our testing and our wandering and our wondering, there is risk. We have no assurance that this liberal tradition we are pursuing will ultimately serve us or our children in our quest for a safer, more loving, and just world. Universalist minister, the Reverend Max Kapp, at the installation sermon for Dana McLean Greeley, as the first president of the newly formed Unitarian Universalist Association in 1961, said we were marching into perilous and untried tomorrows. Would our prayers be heard? Would our newly merged alphabet respond sufficiently to the human needs of our souls? Unitarian Universalism was, Kapp said, a bold, fresh enterprise of the liberal spirit, and we know how it can feel in our hearts, at its best, authentic and audacious and alive, the way it feels to push the edges of the known, to accept the questions, to play with the possibilities, and to be unfinished. We have our saints, of course, those saints we sang about at the beginning of the service this morning, those who came before us, who pioneered a way of saying, wait, let's look at this more carefully. They are the church stones, perhaps, like Reverend Anderson's in our story, piled high in our backyards. Channing, Murray, Emerson, Thoreau, Parker, the ones we love and are never quite free from, nor want to be. They are the stones of wisdom that we revisit and keep thinking we will build into patios as a permanent memoriam. Despite our dismantling of vocabulary and creed, we love much of the debris of our past, these stones. It might be simpler, perhaps, if we could leave them scattered in some resting ground for the rituals of certainty that no longer supported the structure of our evolving dreams. If we didn't love the rubble, then we might be free. The history, the remnants of eras of effort to understand, to create community, to care, and make some sense of our living. But we do love it, and so we are not. And I think it is these stones that help keep us honest and humble. They remind us that we have come from somewhere and must be responsible to that history. So this is the disquieting truth, that we are caught in a tension between wanting certainty and definition of who we are as a collection of faith travelers, and at the same time wanting the freedom to become what we do not yet know and never has been. And perhaps that's why we are an experiment, a really interesting and engaging experiment in the human endeavor to make meaning of life and meaning of death, to care for each other and the world around us, without the pillars of certainty. Thoreau reminds us not to worry if we build our castles in the air. They are where they should be, he told us in Walden. Now put the foundations under them. We are like the child who knew the alphabet at least and who offered it with joy and passion so that his wish for the world would be acknowledged. We are the experiment of song that offers both caution and hope. Caution against the hazards of certainty and hope for an ever new path to love and justice and freedom for all beings. I invite you to join me in ending this morning with prayer for our engaging and slightly disquieting endeavor that joins us together. A prayer to and for all that unites us, all that joins us in passion and hope. Dear light beyond our understanding, like a constellation of stars in the night sky, your possibilities surround us. They twinkle and beckon. Choose me, each says, as though one might be more engaging than the next, more exciting, more challenging. And this revelry, this choosing of twinkling source, Our feisty tradition encourages, no, requires. This life, almost unbearably complicated yet fascinating, offers the galaxy. We fear there will not be time to consider all the paths to meaning. Here, in this holy place, we hear you, Spirit of Life, call to each of us, don't stop. Don't rest on one star, one idea, even if it calls especially, for there are infinite ways to understand. O light, intricate and complex as the night sky, this journey is exquisite. May we be grateful and strong enough for the task. Amen.